Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We have a good hour for you coming up. We'll talk about some new housing numbers that are pretty interesting and Senator Chuck Schumer's plan to offer visas to foreigners who buy American real estate, especially homes. So we'll talk about that intriguing proposal in just a minute. And we have Marc Maron with us later this hour. Some of you remember him from his Air America morning show days. He's now doing a very popular podcast being distributed by Public Radio. Marc Maron and some clips of him talking to other comedians and stuff coming up later this hour. But before we get to housing and the Schumer proposal and Marc Maron, just going to take 1 minute here at the top of the hour to remind you that you have only this hour to go if you're going to make a pledge to WNYC for our fall membership drive and be automatically entered to win an iPad and lunch with the WNYC host of your choice. And that can be me or Leonard Lopate or Brooke Gladstone or Sotirios or Amy Eddings or Stephen Dubner or Jonathan Schwartz, or think about all the WNYC hosts. You get to have lunch with one of us, your choice, if you are the winner in the WNYC Superfan giveaway, and you get an iPad 2 courtesy of TechServe. You don't have to pledge to enter, but of course we hope you do. When you go to our website, WNYC.org, by noon today, because this closes up at noon today, or when you call 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692. Thank you so much for supporting the station as our fall membership drive is about to end tomorrow. And if you get your pledge in by noon today, you could win an iPad and lunch with a WNYC host of your choice. Help us run the radio station, folks. 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or pledge online at WNYC.org. Thank you all so much for your support. Now, you heard about President Obama's new proposal to help homeowners whose homes are underwater, but he's not the only person with a new plan to help the housing market. Did you hear about Chuck Schumer's proposal for home buyer visas? Foreigners who buy residential real estate in this country would get visas to live in this country.
The number one goal is to help the housing market, which is the biggest anchor around our economy. But the number two goal is to get the economy going. These people will come here. They'll spend a great deal of money here. They have to live here 180 days minimum, and they'll pay taxes here.
So good idea. This comes as the president is trying anew to get banks to refinance mortgages of Americans whose mortgages are worth more than their homes. And it comes amid the release of some confusing new statistics. Sales of existing homes were down in September, but new housing starts were up. And just out this morning, the Case-Shiller Index, considered the most authoritative on housing prices, it showed a 3.8% decline in September compared to a year ago. It's a little worse than many analysts expected, and it all takes us down more than 30% for the average American home since 2006. Meanwhile, New York Magazine has an article about those infamously vacant luxury condos that went up in Williamsburg. Guess what? They are now filled. So let's try to make sense of the housing market with Joanna Robledo, who wrote the New York Magazine article. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, Brian.
And Nick Timorose, Wall Street Journal real estate reporter. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Brian.
And Nick, let's do the newest news first. The Case-Shiller Index just released this morning. What's the headline?
The headline is that the housing market is just kind of treading water here. It didn't. The numbers didn't really tell us something we didn't already know. Home prices are down about 4% from a year ago. This was a measure for the month of August, and we were pretty well unchanged from July. Only two markets, Washington, D.C. and Detroit, have seen home prices higher today than they were a year ago. But on the whole, the housing market, it's not really getting better. It's not really getting worse, though home prices probably will fall now in the last quarter of the year because it's the slowest part of the season.
Do you have regional stats, Greater New York or New Jersey or anything like that?
The Case-Shiller does publish 20 different cities. I don't have New York. The New York number is a little bit funny because it doesn't include condos and co-ops. which, of course, is the bulk of the housing stock in New York City, at least.
Well, Joanna Robledo, real estate reporter for New York Magazine, your article is all about co-ops and condos.
Yes.
And despite all we've just been talking about regarding the flat housing market, new luxury condos are filling up in Williamsburg?
Yes, surprisingly so. 3 years ago, we ran an article that, you know, kind of looked at all the oversupply that was happening in Williamsburg, and we revisited that issue, and we realized that, wow, these condos, these empty condos, have actually been moving.
Are they selling at fire sale prices compared to what the developers envisioned before the bubble burst?
No, I mean, I think a lot of people were hoping that they would reach fire sale prices, but I think for at some point within the last 3 years, they had discounts of up to 15%. So many of them still have, you know, discounts from the high, but no, they weren't going at 50%, 60% off.
You know, we did a project on this show called Halted Development, where listeners made a map of new condos that were unfinished or unoccupied after being built after the crash. And we also talked about some government programs to convert vacant luxury apartments to affordable sales or rentals. Has that been happening to ease the glut in Williamsburg? Sounds like not.
Well, you know, you mentioned rentals, and actually one of the things that did happen was that many projects sort of switched routes, and instead of doing sales, they decided to go rental, and that sort of helped ease the inventory problem.
Mm.
And other than that, I mean, I think prices, cutting prices a little bit, I think sort of just letting the market do what it does kind of brought some sort of stability to the area.
Nick, I think that had something to do with the surprising rise in housing starts in September. Some people were surprised to see that housing starts, that is the beginning of construction on new homes, was up, I think, something like 15% in September. But I read one explanation that said, yeah, but they're really building rental buildings because people can't afford to buy or they can't get loans to buy. So the rental market is increasing, and that's what's actually being started now. Is that your understanding?
That's right. Those September housing starts numbers, they were up overall 15%. But if you just look at the single-family housing starts, they were up 1.5%. So all of the gain was from multifamily. Multifamily is very volatile. It swings from month to month. But certainly that's where the new construction is going to be, is in apartments. Rents are going up. Certainly in the city they're going up right now. And when it comes to building new single-family homes, that just isn't happening. Housing starts are at depressed levels because there's so many foreclosures. The home builders just know they can't compete with all those foreclosures.
And so a lot of analysts think that housing prices nationally are going to go down even more because even more foreclosures are coming on the market now. Is that a widespread perception?
It's certainly a widespread concern that we are in something of a vicious cycle, or that we could be in a vicious cycle where more foreclosures means prices go down, more prices going down means more people are underwater, and if they can't get jobs, if they can't make their mortgage payments, then they become foreclosures and the cycle feeds on itself.
Joanna, as a real estate reporter for New York Magazine, have you checked out this Chuck Schumer proposal to give visas to foreigners who buy residential real estate here?
Yes. I mean, I just took a quick look at it. And to be honest with you, it was a little confounding to me. I mean, I understand where it's coming from, but it's confounding to me because foreign buyers are already here. So my question is, how much more can it improve the market here in the city?
These visas would not include the ability to work in this country. So it also makes me wonder, Nick, what good are they really to somebody who wants to invest in property here? Why would somebody want to come here if they know they can't work?
Well, if they're rich or they're retired, it works for them. But you're right. If you don't have a green card, if you can't work, then there's probably not a whole lot else you would do with it. So these are maybe second homes or retirement homes for wealthy foreign nationals. The bill would require you to spend $500,000 cash on real estate. You'd have to buy at least one house for $250,000. You could put all the $500,000 into one house, or you could buy other rental properties with the others. So maybe you could make money off of your rental income, but you otherwise, Brian or Wright, you would not be able to have a job. And it doesn't do anything to give you permanent residence or put you in the front of the line to be a U.S. citizen.
Although let me replay the clip of Senator Schumer, in which I think I heard him say that people would actually be required to live here part of the year. Let's listen.
The number one goal is to help the housing market, which is the biggest anchor around our economy. But the number two goal is to get the economy going. These people will come here. They'll spend a great deal of money here. They have to live here 180 days minimum, and they'll pay taxes here.
Joanna, they have to live here 180 days minimum, though they're not allowed to work. I guess that would be a very specific slice of the rich foreign population.
Exactly, exactly. And my question to that is, it sounds more like it could appeal to pied-à-terre buyers, although even 180 days seems like that's a huge requirement for a stay here in the city anyway. Most pied-à-terre buyers, I think, stay much less than that. They also run into problems where, okay, what do you do with the apartment when it's sitting empty? Do you lease it out to other people? Then you run into building rules for that. Many co-ops probably wouldn't want that. So it just brings up a lot of questions.
Yeah. President Obama's new housing plan, Nick, just announced yesterday for people whose homes are underwater, that is, whose homes are worth less than what the owners still owe on their mortgages. From what I can tell, this is not exactly an anti-foreclosure plan, because the only way to qualify for refinancing is if you have not missed payments on your mortgage. Do I have that right? And who is this for?
Yeah, Brian, that's absolutely right. This is actually, it is a new program in one sense, but it's a program that the president rolled out during his first month in office. He rolled out at the same time the modification plan, which was for people who were behind on their mortgages and needed to immediate help to avoid foreclosure. And then he came out and said, if the government, these government-backed companies, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, if they own your mortgage and you're current on your mortgage, but you can't refinance because you either have too little home equity or you are underwater and you can't refinance at all normally when you're underwater, we will let you take advantage of these ultra-low interest rates. And it seemed like a great idea at the time, but it didn't work out very well. Fewer than a million people have been able to use it. There have been a bunch of very technical mortgage market-related hurdles, and so it's all of these things together have really kind of frozen the program, defeated what had been the hope that millions of people would use it. And so the White House now and federal regulators have gone back, and they've tried to kind of untangle this Gordian knot in the hopes that more people will be able to refinance now.
Let's hope. We're almost out of time, but on the Case-Shiller numbers coming out today showing basically a flat housing market over the summer and down about 4% nationally for the year on the value of homes, Business Insider's Joe Wiesenthal wrote that we're probably even more interested in today's Case-Shiller than in normal months because so many people are getting more bullish on housing, something that's manifested itself in a stunning 35% gain in home building ETF. Explain what that means, and is there a big segment of investors who are or analysts who are bullish on the housing market all of a sudden? Yeah. I don't hear those words together a whole lot. Joanna, go ahead. Nick first. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't see it either. I think maybe long term, you know, demographically, there's a hope that housing will be a good buy. But in the short term, I'm not quite sure where that's coming from.
What's the long term? What I mean, what do people see like 4 years from now?
Well, housing is cheap. You know, it's cheaper than it's been in a long time. We're back to 2003 prices, and in many markets, we're at values you haven't seen in at least a decade. Interest rates are very low, and again, housing starts have been minimal, so yeah, it's hard to get much lower from here if you're looking at just the home builder segment. But in terms of home prices getting better here, we're heading into a part of the season where foreclosures will be the majority or will be a growing share of home sales, and you typically see prices fall more when there are more foreclosures selling. So in the next few months, not that optimistic.
Joanna, I heard you chuckle at my question. You'll get our last 30 seconds.
Well, at best, I think people are cautiously optimistic, but I wouldn't say that people have been talking as if they're very bullish on housing. Right now, we're moving sideways. We're happy, I think, to be stabilizing, and we'll see what happens. There are so many other issues, economic issues, right, world issues that are affecting us that I think it's still a big question mark.
There are going to have to be a lot more jobs, I think, before home prices go up very much. But we thank Joanna Robledo, real estate reporter for New York Magazine, Nick Timoros, real estate reporter for the New York Journal. Thank you both very much. For
thank
the
you.
Did I say New York Journal? Wall Street Journal. We've heard of that. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We have Mark Maron coming up next. Stay with us.